Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you joined us tonight. I have a very special guest that will be joining us this evening. Her name is Linda, and I met Linda more than 20 years ago. She was one of the first people that I met at Hippocrates Health Institute. She wasn't working there. She wasn't a guest, but she had a sister who came to stay with us at Hippocrates. And that's eventually how I got to meet her. She's written a book, and it's a kid's book, a children's book. And I got a chance to see it today. She did all the drawings, and she's included her family. She has a few kids and some grandchildren, much like me. She has invested time, energy, and lots of love into her family. And hence the book. It's kind of a cute way to help kids get healthier and help them be in a place where they're not thinking that they're eating, to borrow a children's word, yucky and good. One of the things that I noticed about the book right away was how colorful it was. And if you have any experience with little kids, you know, like two-year-olds and even younger than that, you need to know that they love colors. And she's done a lot of those. I sent her this number earlier today. She must not have gotten it. She's trying to call my house phone. So let me get this phone number to her so she can call the right number. And we'll have her on the show. But one of the things that I liked about it, of course, because I have a lot of little people in my life, most of you know that. When you listen to the show, I talk about my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren quite a bit. And they are love and colors. And, of course, they love to be read to. I'm sure everybody gets that, too. Linda has called in. Let me bring her in, open her mic. Hi, honey.
Hello.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
I'm doing great. I can hear you beautifully.
I'm so glad to be here.
I just kind of filled everybody in a little bit on the fact that we've known each other for over 20 years now. Does that seem possible, Linda?
Totally, yes. 20, like, four.
Yeah. It's been quite a while. We've had lots of heart to hearts, and we are both many times on the same page, especially in the world of family issues and kids and all the things that go with being a mom and a grandma, and for me, a great grandma. It's nice when somebody can put together something that is not just entertaining, because the colors are beautiful. And, of course, the story, she's included her family in it. So I want her to tell you a little bit about that. But before we get to that, I would like for Linda to tell us a little bit about how she got interested in a mostly vegetarian lifestyle. Some people call it vegan.
Sure.
Some people call it raw. Some people, you know, everybody has a different name for it. And everybody makes the adjustments they need to make so that they can have themselves in a better place. I don't think there is a one answer for that. Do you, Linda, think there's one answer for everybody as far as a lifestyle is concerned?
Yes, you're so right, and I think everybody is kind of on their journey, depending on depending on where they decide to, where they come into contact with this or become conscious of it, some people are interested in making small changes for their family, and things are going fine pretty much, and that they hear about this, they want to try it, they want to get their kids into a healthier space, and others want to go a little bit stronger in, and they want to really see some changes in their life and in their bodies and energy levels, etc. And some people are really, as we know through our past work experience, some people are really dealing with some serious health issues and scary things, and they decide to look into a healthier diet, even a raw vegan in the case that we knew and learned and embraced, to help improve their situation, help reverse things, and perhaps even to prevent things going forward. So everybody's kind of in a different space. We talked a little bit earlier that sometimes it's maybe just one little change people are looking for. Once a week, everything is a change. Some people need to fully embrace an entirely different dietary lifestyle and food intake and whatnot to really make a change, because their bodies have just become exhausted with, you know, bad choices. So everybody's got a different path. I've seen it so many times. So everybody's got a different path. And what I love to do is to help people kind of find that path and help them figure it out in a way that, okay, what do I need for my pantry? What do I need as veggies? What do I need? What are these recipes? And how can I do this and make it balanced? I was talking with a fellow today, and he was saying, oh my gosh, I'm really looking, I just turned plant-based, you know? And I like that better now, because it kind of englobes a lot of different modalities and choices in dietary, but plant-based I really like, because it, that's what we all, that's the basis of so many of these healthier choices in diets. He was saying that, oh my gosh, the flavors are so delicious. It was just, everything's so yummy. I don't miss the meat at all. And he said, I just need little tips on how to get started. So I like all the different, I like to help people in whatever need they have in their journey to figure it out. So that's what I love doing right now.
Well, and you're really good at it, because you're keeping your mind open. I think one of the problems that we've all run into, especially when we work with other people and they come in and they think that everything has to be verbatim. And I've lived long enough to know that there is no verbatim in life. There is, you know, making it today may not be the same as making it tomorrow. And the quicker you learn that, the happier you'll be, right? I mean, it's like, you know, do the things you can and don't worry about the things that don't suit you or don't seem to fit you. I mean, otherwise everybody would wear a perfect size 10, and that's not the way the world is. So
as a final thing, what I like about that kind of more lenient or fluid approach is that it takes away, first of all, on one end, the judgment that people seem to have sometimes when they really are strict, and they see other people, friends, family, whatever, they sometimes turn into a judgmental character, which turns people off. And then also for the person who might be trying, but it just doesn't seem to fit them, then they self-guilt themselves, which is not healthy either. So I think I used to tell my students, do your best and bless the rest, and just do your best and figure out what you need for your body and your lifestyle and your current health situation. So that's my spiel.
Right. Well, and that's the perfect scenario. And that's true in every aspect of our life, isn't it, honey? I mean,
totally.
You see somebody else who you know, who is so regimented and they do everything, you know, the same way every day, and it seems to work for them. And then you try to apply it to your life and you're like, oh my God, I can't do this. And then the frustration sets in, the annoyance with yourself, the feeling like you're, you know, you're not good enough for some reason. We lay these things on us that are hard to work through. And this lifestyle can be like that. If you look at it, I mean, I've had couples leave Hippocrates years ago, and one could adapt themselves so beautifully. And it was because they ate to live. They didn't live to eat. I want to say that right away, because there's a big difference, right? If food is the name of your game, this, you know, giving up all, especially sugar, all those kind of things, is very, very difficult. But then your partner just falls into it and is like, this is the best. I don't ever feel logy. I have so much more energy. I've lost weight, all these positive things. And the partner is, you know, sagging and dragging and just can't make it work for them. So they would come. I have two of them on phones in my ear, both of them yelling about the other one. And I'd say you both have to be able to do what you need to do for yourself. That doesn't mean that you can't be the most wonderful couple in the world. You know, it really does. I have a favorite saying that I think you'll like, and I may have said this to you before in the past. To make a picture out of a puzzle, all the pieces of the puzzle are different. And yet, if they're in the right place, they fit together to make the big picture, right?
Oh,
that's the same with us.
So true. Yeah.
Isn't it?
So true.
It's the same as us.
It sure is. Yeah.
And I think couples, of course, it's harder because you like to do the same things because it makes you feel like you're in, you know, in a couple niche. You know, Spike and I were totally different people. We were together 50 years, totally different people, you know, and but we made it work. And when you have to go on a program for health's sake and your partner is trying to support you, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I know Linda has seen this a million times, as have I, where couples, you know, just do it because they're, you know, they're helping their other half. But in
and
the real
world,
and that's
where you find the most
somebody,
success, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hands down the most success. But your book, when we stopped talking today, I sat and I thought about all the kids I've had in my life and all the little people. I even shared with you some of the stories from Hippocrates with very, very young children who came literally dying and are still with us thanks to being on a special program with food. And it's an amazing thing. And people can poo-poo that if they want to, but we saw it. We know it. We saw it. So now she's put out this adorable book that's very, very family-oriented, which I think is incredibly important in today's world. And I want you to kind of, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want you to kind of share with everybody how you thought, like you have the pictures of you know, holding a baby. And the years that you go through. I mean, there's so much. I have two young girls in my family right now who are having babies. And so many people give them advice. They don't know what to do. They don't know whether to breastfeed or get a bottle or, you know, it's horrible for them. They you know, and making decisions and everything and figuring out the right thing to do. And, of course, I say, you won't know until you have that baby in your arms. You know, who that baby is. And this might work for him and it might not. So relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's more about love and nourishment for sure, but mostly the love and being able to work with your brand new baby and find out who he or she is. So what made you write this book? Well, what did you think you were going to achieve?
I honestly kind of don't remember. I remember the drawings that I had done. I was staying with friends, and there was a little boy who lived in the house, and he was on the carpet in the house playing with a wooden train, and there was a cat, Nettie. Her name was Nettie. Actually, the cat that came from Casa Grande. She got adopted, and we all called her Nettie. And this child was playing on the carpet, and Nettie was just there. And I said, I'm going to draw them because I have a background in fine arts, and I was a painter for a while. So I drew this little boy and the cat and the little train, and then I was starting to talk about eating the proper foods, and I started thinking about, oh, okay, well, then let's talk about colors. Also being an artist, I love being in the kitchen and preparing foods and seeing the colors of foods. And we used to have an inn when we lived in Quebec, and the kitchen window went all the way straight down to my countertop, and the sun would shine in that window, and sometimes it would go through the veggies, and this is like if it went through a mango, if it went through, didn't go through, but it shone upon, or purple cabbage, or other beautiful mm-hmm. colors that, you know, were in the vegetable and fruit kingdom. And it's like, man, these colors feed us. They feed through our eyes. They feed our bodies. And, of course, scientifically, we know colors have phytonutrients that also nourish us. Tomatoes, red, like lysine, mm-hmm. and beta carotene, and then all the different colors that we've got in foods and chlorophylls and whatnot. So that's a definite, definite scientific thing. So anyway, I was drawing this, and it started out just boys. So it started out with this little boy, my son, and then I thought, well, that's kind of not too fair. The rest of my family's not in this, so. I added and I added my two daughters, and I added, and then I had two grandchildren at the time, and so then I added the grandkids, and then I got busy, and it kind of got laid on the shelf, and then I said, I got to get this out. I have to get this out, because I had drawn the pictures of it, and pastel, the colors are pastel colors that I put on the pages, and then... Actually, 7 years ago, I had another grandchild, Zoe, and I said, oh my gosh, now I need to make three more pages, because every child has like three pages in the book. And I said, no, now I was stuck. It was stuck. It's like, I can't go back and kind of create the same feel of the pictures and the colors and everything. What am I going to do? So then I figured out a way to kind of switch people around. So the ages don't really fit in the book, but my three children and my three grandchildren are in the story. And the last one you were mentioning about that little boy that we knew at Hippocrates, and the last, because all the kids in the story are getting their energy for their running around in the fields day, or climbing mountains day, or playing hockey day. They get their energy from either colorful fruits in a smoothie, or colorful veggies in a salad, or colorful fruits and veggies in a juice. And or a colorful plate for a little child in a high chair that can pick up with their fingers and eat and make a mess all over their face. Mm-hmm. So all of the kids that were my kids in the story but the last one in the last page was inspired by the mommy of this little boy who started this whole thing out, and that we both know. And at the time she would sit in this big old squishy armchair, you know, with the kind that you used to sit in, and you'd sink a little bit down below, and she'd be breastfeeding. And so the last page, and my, you know, I did, and both my girls breastfed our babies for quite some time, and it's so this last one said that baby Jeremy is getting his colors from mommy's milk, because mommy has eaten so many wonderful colors herself, you know. So that's kind of how that ends. And then, so throughout this book, every child who has got his either salad, his smoothie, his juice, or his fruit plate, it asks the child, what colors do you like in your salad? And maybe smaller kids don't necessarily like salad. They like pieces, individual pieces on a plate. They don't like things tossed together, you know. But it asks them, what would you like in your smoothie? What would you like in your juice? So it asks those questions to the kids. And so there is some interaction in the book. And there's also the last page is tips for parents on games that we used to play. I used to play with my kids in the store or at home. The real thing about this whole book is to how many more colors can we add in our day? Because sometimes we just don't think about it. You know, we just grab the easiest thing to eat, right? out of the cupboard
right.
or out
yeah.
of a bag or something.
That's true.
Yeah, but, and kids also. Kids, I've seen, and I've talked to a few other parents too, kids like, quite often, like bland colored foods like pasta and butter or nuggets
mm-hmm.
or mashed potatoes
mm-hmm.
or mac and cheese,
yep.
things that are not too brightly colorful, unless it's fake colors like Skittles or popsicles or things like that, you know, ice cream, rainbow ice
mm-hmm.
cream. So the point of all of that was to, and the tips for parents is to, when you're at the grocery store, you know, they're sitting, they're captive in the cart there, hopefully. and, you know,
yeah.
hey, what's this
Sometimes,
color? And,
yeah.
you know, is this, yeah, and how, let's weigh it. And then we can play with numbers and how many lemons in this bag. And then going into an aisle that's got a lot of bags and boxes of food. Okay, is that a real color? Is that, you know, is that color from a box or is that color? When I was with the kids, when they were little, I would call them God's colors because we went to church and stuff, but I called them God's colors,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, people could call them, is this the earth colors? Is this the garden colors? That's kind of the whole concept. Yeah, the whole concept behind that book. And it comes with a chart, and this is what I would do with my grandkids when they'd come to visit. We'd make a chart and put it on the wall, and on the top of the chart was all the different colors, red, yellow, orange, green, blue, purple, brown, and white. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday down the side. And depending on the day that week on Monday, how many red things had they eaten? A tomato, a cherry, a strawberry, an apple? How many green things? How many yellow things? And then it was a real cool visual for them to see. And it was encouraging, too, because quite often we just eat mindlessly, and it's like, but when we see, oh, look at all these colors I ate, Grandma, you know, it's like really cool. So it's just a fun mm-hmm. way to engage the kids. And I have found that the adults as well who have gotten my book just because they were all anxious to see what, it, you know, once I got it published or printed, because I self-published
mm-hmm.
it. But once I got it printed, they were all anxious to see it. And they're telling me, hey, we're eating more colors now because of your book. I went, well, this is really cool. So everybody kind
yeah.
of gets into it. So I'm really, really, really happy with the way that's turned out, and it's not over yet. So, yeah, that's
no,
kind of
that story. You're really just getting started. Yeah, you're really just getting started. And the inception of something that has to do with our daily lives is always important. I mean, if we look at just our history with books and Dr. Seuss, Sesame Street, you know, I mean,
yeah.
our guest, you know, Heather Henson, who still comes to Hippocrates. I saw her this past summer. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
their lives are all about that. They're all about, you know, putting things into perspective so that they're not so overwhelming. Like if you say to a
right.
3-year-old child, you just said it, they're going to want the easy stuff, the things that they can pick up in their fingers and eat. I was with my great granddaughter
yeah.
today, and she eats healthy snacks, but she likes the things she can pick up and put in her fingers. She will be 2 in June. So, and
oh,
she eats
yeah.
very well. You know, she's not fussy. She loves her veggies. She loves, you know, one day we had corn on the cob, and I just gave her a piece of corn on the cob, and I had to keep an eye on her. I thought she was going to eat the whole cob. She loved it, you know. So
it is about making things not just the colors because it's more beautiful, but the colors because it's more alive. I guess it's the right word, alive. And of course, we say that about being a raw Buddhist, is everything that you eat that is alive serves you. Everything that you eat that isn't alive just fills you.
Yeah,
and that's a big difference. That's a big difference, right? So, and the colors, though, play into it so much. I mean, I love the colors, and I love colors, period. But if I was telling a story, Linda, I don't think I'd have thought about how important the colors were going to be, and they are incredibly important. They really, really are. They're a big part of the book.
They are. So, I'm attracted to, when I see a children's book, I mean, the more colors that I see, the more I just love that book. And one of the favorite books that I read to my girls when they were little, and now my girls are 45 and 43 and my son's 33, was called The Rainbow Goblin. And that was a story about the colors in that book were just the most amazingly beautiful colors. And we read that book till the spine broke and the pages were falling out. And then we got a second copy, a new one for their kids. And that, you know, it's like the colors were just so rich and outstanding. So absolutely. Sometimes I watch old movies. This is funny and kind of off the track, but sometimes I watch movies of, you know, down in medieval times or, you know, everything's muddy colored. All the clothing is brown because they probably didn't have much else to weave with, you know. Everybody's got brown clothing on, and life is brown, and the houses are brown, and the mud is brown, and their food is brown, and everything's kind of brown. The only color really that's available are for the wealthy, where they get to have blues and purples and reds and things like that because they can afford it. But it just, I think it keeps those sad colors kind of keep us a bit sad sometimes, you know?
I think you're right. I never thought about that before either, but you're absolutely right. That's the truth.
Mm.
Well, it's just like clothes, you know? I remember I grew up Catholic, and you had to wear a uniform, and they were never beautiful, bright pinks or beautiful, bright blues. They were always beige or dark, dark green or dark, dark navy blue. Yeah. And, you know, you're right. I never thought about it either, honey. I really didn't. But, of course, that makes a lot of sense. And that has a lot to do with how stimulated you know, your brain becomes. And stimulation for your brain, we've learned through the years that it is incredibly important. And I've even, on the show, we've talked a lot of times about the doctors that do the infrared scan on the brain of somebody who's getting good news or bad news or happy news or sad news. Mm. And when they're in the company of someone who loves them, holding the hand of their significant other, or their mom is holding them, or whatever the case might be, and the color in the brain is much better if they're not alone. And so colors mean a lot more than we ever knew, I think, more than we ever knew.
I think
you've hit on something here that probably a lot of people, unless we keep talking about it, a lot of people aren't going to quite get it. But you see cartoons, the kids' channels now that are on, you know, pay television and all these, they are... Everybody's moving, everybody's singing, everybody's got on colors. There's blue doggies with pink polka dots. It's all about what you just did, you know. I mean, Espen, she'll hear her favorite show come on the TV that's in her bedroom, and she'll grab my hand and make me walk in the bedroom, and she starts singing to the song. She just loves the animation, the music, and the colors,
And I think
what's your goal?
Abundance of
colors. What's
your
goal for this book?
Yeah. What's my goal for this book? Well, I'm sure it's more than threefold.
of course.
One of them is to get people to make it hopefully easier for parents to eat more colors, eat more fresh foods. Because, you know, we kind of, parenting can be exhausting, as we remember. Now we're grandparenting, which is so much easier. But parenting, yeah, it can be quite, we're tired, my goodness. And we haven't slept in 3 years. And, you know, we're working. And, oh, my gosh, let's take a frozen pizza out of the freezer and feed them quick and get it over with. But
You're right.
I think what I'm hoping, right, with this book, I'm hoping, and this idea, I'm hoping to kind of put the challenge to the kids as well as, you know, obviously the parents have to introduce it and be kind of the manager of it, but so that the kids go, hey, oh my gosh, I just ate this color. Mom, we have to go to the chart and put this on the chart. You know, we have to put it on the wall, put a sticker there or do something. And it can be, you know, just one bite. My one daughter who, with their child, you know, she'd say, one bite taste, you know, to have a taste of something new, at least if you tried it one bite, that'd count. Instead of going, no, you have to have three bites. And then it's like the third bite's a fight and everybody's crying and dad's mad and mom's upset and everything's yucky, you know. I always try to not have any arguments at the dinner table or any table where we're eating. While we're eating, no fighting, no talking about money. Not talking about homeworks necessarily, unless it has to be something like nothing to bring us stress. So, so to put kind of the interest in the kids, in the kids' mind and in their visuals, to say, oh, I just noticed what I ate there. I noticed that, and now I feel I'm going to be proud of myself and proud to show mom or dad, put it on the wall because look at what I ate, you know. So the kids get involved. It's not just the parent going, you have to do this, or be the clown and try to present something fun so that the kids eat it, and the kids are going, I don't know about this, you know. So it involves the children, and I think the book also involves the children by asking them these questions and pointing out at one of the two towards the end of the book, pictures of or drawings of fruits on one side and vegetables on the other with the names of them. And then, you know, it's like point to the ones you like. And I remember I was I was printed the first one in September and then finally went, everything was printed in November. So I was sitting with my granddaughter up in Quebec and I was reading it with her. And I said, which vegetables do you like? You know, and she's pointing with her fingers. She was 5 or 6 at the time. And she was pointing, and then she put a big X with her finger over the mushrooms. Because, yeah, mushrooms are yucky. I just laughed. I thought that was the cutest thing ever. Because who likes mushrooms at that age, you know? I don't know any kids that like mushrooms at that age.
I tell them some 20-year-olds that won't do mushrooms. So, yeah, they're all different, though.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
So, it's fun. It just kind of brings the kids in. And also, one of the important things that I noticed in my grandkids as well, and my kids, when we talked about foods, was, is it real or not, you know? And foods from a bag and foods from a box, there's merit there. And, I mean, there's some good ones out there now, you know, in the Whole Foods type of arena. You get some good quality food in a bag and a box and things like that. That shouldn't be the main part of your diet, but sometimes it's very handy. But my two little grandkids, one time I was out with my daughter and her son at a street fair, and Jeremy was about 4, I think, at the time, 4 or 5, and he wanted one of those shaved ice things, you know, with the syrup on it. Back in my time and your time, it was snow cones, right? But now they're called shaved Italian ice. I'm going, oh, ice from Italy, that's very exotic. But so they had, he chose mango, right? So he had the mango and he ate a few bites and his tongue turned orange and then he got kind of ick about it and we were fine when he wanted to throw it away. He was like, yep, that's good, throw it away. But when we got back to the house, he wanted to put a sticker in orange. He said, Nina, look, I had mango. I can put a sticker in orange. And I said, well, honey, was that a real orange or was that a real color or what? And so he thought about it and then he realized that, no, that wasn't real a real color. So right then he got it. That was easy as pie. And then another time, little 3-year-old Zoe, we were having a family reunion, and I had gone with her mom, my other daughter, to the grocery store, and right to get food for everybody. And right in the entrance, they had this big pile of Fruit Loops as a display. And so Zoe walks right up there. It's like her level. She walks up there and puts her little hand on her hip, and she goes, "Mommy, look at this. These aren't real colors, are they?" I'm going,
"Oh,
all right." So we got it. You know, so and these are just little seeds you plant. I mean, typically what I saw over my lifetime with my kids and grandkids, when they turn into teenagers, it's like, "Give me Doritos, and that's all I want to eat." You know. And then they get back to it again once they leave home and they're in their 20s, and you know, when they have their own house, they get back to eating well again. So it's kind of what we expose them to, and it doesn't matter what age. We don't have to feel guilty that oh my gosh, I didn't know that when they were 7. You know, oh, now I'm such a bad parent, horrible me. But do what you can when you can, as soon as you know.
Story. I think that's the truth about everything in this life. You can't, we've talked about this so many times. I quote the Serenity Prayer all the time for myself so that I can not chastise myself when I know that I've screwed up trying to do something I thought was a good thing and I've made things worse. And, you know, it happens in this life. But I think teaching kids about how much power they have is real important, and how to manage that power. Yeah. So when you're teaching a child about their food, like what you've been doing, and letting them tell you what foods they're having because they are aware of what foods they're having now, is awesome. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And they learn that, you know, they're not just some little kid that has to do everything the grown-ups tell them to do. You actually empower them to say, you know, look, Grandma, this is a yellow vegetable, and I've had it twice today, or any of those kind of things. That's empowering, right? I mean, it's really empowering, and it shouldn't be taken lightly.
So
I mean, if you don't have kids, you might not know what we're talking about. You know, if you're listening right now. And you're rolling your eyes at me because I'm talking like these little kids think that. But I want you to know, some days they are much smarter than any of us. Some days they are incredibly smart. And every time you give them, if you'll excuse the pun, food for thought, you're helping them. You're giving them more power. I think it's
amazing.
And they
love it.
What's your goal after the book comes out? When the book really comes out and gets on the shelf, are you going to write another book?
Oh, gosh. I have another book on peace that I've already started, but right now I have to focus on this one. I've got so many projects right now that it's like my head is spinning. So I'm lucky right now to have the time to look at them and do them, which I'm really grateful for. Thanks to our lovely tongue-in-cheek COVID thing here. I'm home now and doing these. So I'm grateful for the time that I have. And, you know, I just want to honor everybody out there who's in the front lines fighting. And also for the parents who are home with young kids. So often I think, oh, my gosh, what would I do right now if I was a single mom with 2 kids, which I was at one point. I was a single mom with 2 kids at one point. And if this thing would have hit right now, and what would I do with rent? And I don't know. Oh my gosh, I don't know. God bless all of you out there who are having troubles with this. Right now, you know, they say that if you want something to happen, here I go. Oh my gosh, and you want to declare it a goal, if you declare it out loud, then it's much more likely to happen, or else at least you've made it public, so you better get your button gear and do it. But you know what? The other day I saw that Michelle Obama has a new program out with kids for kids with puppets, and it talks to them about healthy foods. And so I looked at that, and she's working with a group, and I wouldn't be able to tell you the name of the group because it's in my phone, and I'm afraid if I scroll around, I'll lose you. But it's a group, I don't know if it's a foundation or a something that is out there to try to encourage healthier family life and whatnot. So what I am going to do, one of my goals this week is to that company, you know, that foundation or whatever, the entity, my book and say, hey, I'd love to share this information with you and see what happens. So I just threw it out there in the universe and to you all. So I'm going to see what I can do with that.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think that is a great idea. And I think that my feelings on Michelle Obama are that, I mean, I just saw all the garbage that was out yesterday about she wants a divorce and all this kind of stuff. And, of course, I just
I didn't see that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and you know, who knows? And really, it's none of our business if the truth be known. But I have a lot of respect for her because I think she's always maintained a real lady-like quality. And a real good mom and all that kind of stuff. And I think she would be your perfect link to be able to show her something
cool.
like that. Because I think that you're really onto something, Linda. I really do.
Thank you.
Because, you know, I think kids do get excited about the colors. And I think they do get excited about the things that are easy for them to learn, that don't cause any struggle or, you know, or afraid to say because they think they're wrong. This is easy stuff, and most of them grasp it right away, especially when they can compare. One of my grandchildren could not tell you that anything was, or no, that the sun was yellow. He would, what color is the sun? I don't know. Yes, you do know. What color is a banana? Yellow. Okay. What color is a lemon? Yellow. What color is the sun? Sun, I don't know. And I say, isn't the sun the same color as the lemon? Yes. So then what color is the sun? I don't know. So I've never forgotten that. And it took us, I want to say it took us 3 months to get him to say that the sun was yellow. And I don't know whether I even considered the fact that if he looked straight at the sun, it didn't look yellow to him. I considered that.
It's
not
yellow.
Because you never know. And so, but it was hard to get him, and he knew all the other colors. It was just so funny that that one was one of them, you know, for him to be flat out telling you, no, it's not yellow. It's not the same color as a lemon. And he just wouldn't get it. And then all of a sudden, one day, what color is the sun? Yellow. So it passed. But I think the colors are some of the first things that they really learn. I struggled with one of my children with color blindness. And he had trouble. Do you remember when they did mimeograph sheets for, like, math and stuff like that? The teacher would put them through a machine, and they'd come out, and they'd all be that real light blue color. Are you old enough to remember that?
Yes, right.
And my son, he'd do the math, and the right answers would be on the equation either above it or beneath it. And he'd get so confused with all that blue there. So I took him to the pediatrician, and they told me he was colorblind. And that blue print in that light blue was he had trouble seeing the numbers even clearly to go back to the problem he had been working on once he saw all that blue. So colors are really important, a lot more important than we give them credit for. So I think if you were to reach out to Michelle Obama while she's in the midst of this, that would be perfect timing. Of course, I don't know how you would do that.
Well, through this foundation, through this company that she works with. So I think I'm not sure. I'll have to look into it. I just got the website, and again, I don't have it in front of me because I don't want to lose you on the phone. But it would be through this. I'm going to call it a foundation because that's what I think. But I would start there, and and you know, I don't know how Michelle would be involved in this, but that would be pretty cool. But I think this foundation would be a good, and then school commissions. Maybe now it's a bit crazy in schools, so you know, I'm not pushing that too hard right now. It's just a bit too off and on and off and on and crazy. So I'm doing more online things for parents, and I'll just be doing a little bit more online stuff. I'm trying to stay kind of low-key at home right now and be a part of the solution of not running around spreading things if I can, since I can. And so I'm working more in that. And so I'd like to, you know, get it more out there, which I'm doing now. And also maybe create some fun things for the kids. You know, one of the things also is, you know, play with your food. And again, I can say this now because I'm a grandma and I'm not a mom with a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old and a job and homework or whatever else. And I know it's not the same dynamic, but when the kids are there, you know, depending on their age, I would sit them down with mom's approval, with my daughter's approval, and sit them down on the chair at the big counter right next to me while I was making food. This is a fun thing. I love, and even when my kids are little, if they're involved in the kitchen to a certain extent without getting in the way, they really love that, and it helps them as they grow. And often I found we adults, we're ready to eat dinner around 7 or sometimes even later. Kids are hungry at 4:30. It's like, I want to eat. And then we get upset with them. No, don't eat that. You're going to ruin your dinner. And then everybody's upset. And then by the time dinner comes around, they've had some snacks because they were starving. And then they don't want to eat. And then you're upset with them. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this cycle of circle of around food is so not fun. And, but so I would make my kids what I used to call a picnic. And this is just some ideas if there are, you know, moms out there who can't even think of anything that might help them out. But, you know, picnic. So while I was making dinner, they'd sit at the counter with me, and I would have their sticks of celery, their little pieces of raisins, their few walnuts that they could chew, a couple slices of apples, and a little bit of cheese or whatever was there that day. And they would sit, and they'd fill up their tummy. So when supper came around, they weren't, you know, upset. I wasn't upset. I knew they already had a lot of good food in their tummy, so, you know, that was fine. And if they just continued to eat with us a little bit at the dinner table, that's fine. But there was no arguing or pushing or, you know, bribing or all that not fun stuff. And then when I go up there now as grandma again, I would cut up pieces of food, you know, like cut up pieces of red pepper and celery and cucumbers and zucchinis and whatever. And I would give these all to my very creative and artistic Zoe, who's now 7, but she would love, the kids love setting the table. And I understand it's not all the time. Sometimes there comes a point when they don't want to do anything you ask them to do. But so when we're together and there's a, you know, everybody's coming over, let's set the table. Oh my gosh, they go out and they find leaves in the yard and they find flowers and they make different things on each placemat. And then I said to her, I said, okay, here's some veggies. Can you make a nice centerpiece of these veggies? Because I had a dip that I had made out of almond butter and lemon juice and things. And with clean hands, obviously, she spent probably 20 minutes having the best time doing all sorts of things with these slices of vegetables, making teepees and houses and lines and squares. And finally, we had a nice platter with, you know, a sunburst of veggies, and kept her busy. And we got to talk. You know, that's precious time with our kids, you know. So,
absolutely.
So that's more like for grandmas, I think, more because I know moms and dads are so busy. Sometimes you can do it.
It's long term, Linda. It's long term.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you must have, since you're the kind of mom you are, I'm going to assume your mom or your grandma was very much like the person you've become. And my mom was the one who wanted to, she was not a homebody person. I don't remember her ever mm-hmm. teaching me how to cook. I don't remember her doing anything like that. I mean, she was a good mom, but her idea of having fun is we could invite any kids we wanted to, and we would all go swimming. Or we would all go to ice skate. Or that was her thing, was more like that kind of an outing. And it was great. You know, I'm not going to say that I could complain about any of that. But by the time I had my own house, my job, because I'm the oldest of six kids, my job was always having the babies and taking them when we do those outings. I'd be in charge of having the baby in my arms, or I'd pull the sled that they were in, or I, you know, that became who I became. And now I can make dinner out of three items in the kitchen, and everybody thinks it's great.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. But I became that
for 20 people, right?
When I became for 20 people, lots of time. So I think a lot of the energy that we get at this point in our lives and the things that are things that brought us comfort. So I'm a cooker. I'm also somebody who has to have my house in pretty good order. I'm not a clean freak by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I counsel kids or mostly women, I got to tell you, and they tell me that they're having trouble, and their husband and they are fighting all the time, and I don't know what to do. Everything, you know, everything's my fault. And they tell me, and I say, can you tell me what your bedroom looks like? And they give me this really strange look. And they say, why are you asking me that? And I said, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to. I just kind of, you know, I just am wondering what your bedroom looks like. Well, it's always a mess. I can't keep it clean. And I said, so that's how the rest of your day is going. Your safe domain where you lay your head down and fall asleep and are pretty much unconscious for the whole night has to be a safe place, a clean place, a happy place, a place where you feel secure. Every day get up and make your bed. Every day. And when you come home at night, it welcomes you like an old friend. Instead of something else you forgot to do.
Yeah, right? Very true.
What you're teaching the kids is that same kind of thing. The food is something we can have fun with and get nourishment from and enjoy and learning all the colors and everything, but it's not what literally fulfills me. I'm eating the food that I appreciate. But I'm not, you know, you're going to create kids that don't have weight problems, too, by doing this, I believe.
Hopefully so.
Because it won't be the only thing that made you feel happy all day eating. Do you know, I mean, I'm sure you've talked to all the years that you were a PC and a health educator and everything. You know how many people have got hang-ups about food, and that's one of the reasons. And we all, you know, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, but I think this is a wonderful idea. We're down to about 5 minutes of show, and I want to say that I think this is awesome. I will keep talking about it. You're welcome to be on the show whenever something changes or you want to talk about something different. And you want to include some of the classes, then I will start inviting younger women that I know have children so that they can listen. A lot of people don't like to talk, but because the show streams the next day on Facebook, they'll read about it. Then I'll get a note, you know, telling me or asking me a question about things. So it's kind of fun like that. I hear from, it's internet, so I have old guests of ours that live in Belgium and Italy and places like that listen to the show.
Lovely. Yeah.
So it's
That's
a lot
so cool.
of fun.
Boy,
and
this hour has just flown by.
I know. It always does.
Yeah, and if anybody's interested, you can go to my website, healthyeasygreen.com, and you'll see the book there, and you can kind of check it out a little bit and see what it's about. And so Healthy Easy Green, that's kind of easy to remember. Yeah, if anybody, my contact information is on that website as well. So whoever you want to talk,
hey,
or chat, or do whatever.
Is that all one word?
Yeah,
healthy?
No space, no dots, no nothing. Okay. Yep, one word.
And no caps or anything?
Healthy, just easygreen.com,
everybody. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I'm gonna put it on what I put out for today's show, and I'll put your website on that, and that'll be on Facebook all day. Is that all right with you?
Absolutely, that's fine. Yes, and
okay.
Please private message me your address. I'd love to send you a book for your grandchild.
Oh wow, I would love that. It's 15359. Morrow.
Wait a minute. Write this down.
Okay.
15359.
Uh-huh. Morrow Court. That's Morrow Court.
Okay.
Loxahatchee Grove. Uh-huh. Florida.
And the zip.
33470.
Awesome. Okay.
I love it. Thank you, Miss Linda. And anything changes,
hey.
You got more stuff you want to share, give me a call and we'll get you on whenever you'd like to.
There's a new therapist
at Hippocrates that I'm going to try to get on the show next week. I guess she's just starting out, and Linda says she's wonderful. So, and Linda's show was great too.
Yeah.
Linda Cardi told me that there's a new girl that started at the Institute in the therapy building who would like to talk on the show. So I'm going to open that door too.
Wonderful.
So,
right.
It's been wonderful reconnecting with you folks. So, you know, Linda and I were always very close. We talked a lot about personal things and about work things and about guests and everything. So, you know, we've always been good friends, but this is a really,
it's
really...
It's because of Renee that I ended up here. It's really because of Renee that I ended up here all those years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
So I thank you for
always
that.
Always important to keep your friends. I do want to say very quickly before the show is over, we said goodbye to a very dear friend this week. His name is Rick Warner, and he worked with us at Hippocrates, and he wasn't feeling so good. It was not like this was, you know, like a total shock, but it still was a total shock. He started feeling kind of yucky and was busy working, and he's always had allergies and things like that, and he just had a heart attack, and they could not revive him. So he passed the day before yesterday and leaves behind children and grandchildren and a wonderful wife of many, many years. So our love and our condolences go out to that whole family, the Rick Warner family. So everybody
really loved his family and his kids and grandkids.
He's such a good guy. So everybody, God bless. And I'm not sure when the next show is going to be. I'm playing hit or miss with some other things going on here, but it'll be soon. And everybody go out there and do the best job you can and try to be nice to everybody. God bless. Thank you, Miss Linda.
Thanks for your inspiration. Thank you, Rini. Love you too. Bye, hon.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.